Join me right now on the front lines of the moral and cultural revolution.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've got a question for you. I want to put this question out and get your response. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. The number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Here's my question for you. Are you ready? Do you think it's important for our president to be a man of prayer who genuinely seeks God's wisdom and guidance? Yes or no? We're not electing a pope. We're not electing a pastor. We're not electing a priest. But do you think it's important for our president to be a man of prayer? We're talking about a Christian here, obviously. Do you think it's important for our president to be a man of prayer who genuinely seeks God's wisdom and guidance? Do you believe that is important? I'm doing a survey on Twitter. And overwhelmingly, first couple of hundred votes that have come in the first few hours, overwhelmingly, the response is in one direction. Curious to know what you think. If you knew that the president of the United States was a God-fearing man and started his day on his knees, or potentially on her knees, getting down before God, saying, God, I need your wisdom. Our country needs your help. Show me the way to go. And they were sincere and God-fearing. Would that be meaningful to you? Or would you say, hey, the president may not be a godly person or Christian, but that doesn't mean they can't be a strong leader. After all, we're not electing a pastor, we're electing a president. Curious to know what you think. 866-34-TRUTH. I've got a whole bunch of things I want to talk to you about. Oh, let me just start in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Someone posted this on my Facebook page just a few days ago, and it's why we do what we do. It's one of many reasons that we get involved in moral and cultural issues as followers of Jesus. And before I get to this article, a really simple proposition for you, all right? A really simple proposition. If our calling is to go and make disciples. That's our calling. Once someone comes to faith and becomes a disciple, how does that person live? Once a disciple is made, how does that person live? Does that person now live differently in the home? Before they were pagan, before they were ungodly, before they had no place for God, before they didn't have godly morals. Now they have become disciples. Do they live differently? 866-348-7884. So I just want to take you to Calgary, Alberta, Canada for a moment. And this is now based on new laws that are being instituted there. Every Alberta student, male and female alike, now has the right to use the girls' washrooms and change rooms, depending not on the reality of biology, but purely on the student's own feelings. Oh, hang on, there is more. Schools at which kids wear uniforms can no longer insist that only girls wear skirts. Girls must be allowed to join the boys' hockey team. Boys are entitled to attend a girls' sex education class. Schools must work towards the elimination of single-gender sports, meetings, clubs, and activities. Schools must even stop using gendered language like mother, father, him, her, Mr., Mrs., and instead use non-gendered language like caregivers and partners. Does it sound insane, like I'm making it up? I wish I was, but I'm not. That's why we get involved as believers, as disciples. These things should matter.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm looking at a Pew Research report that lists the denominational affiliation of our presidents. This doesn't mean that all of them were practicing Christians or really knew the Lord, but the highest percentage, Episcopalian, from George H.W. Bush to George Washington, looks like, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12, 13. And then Presbyterian from Reagan to Jackson, that's 3, 6, 8 there. Baptist, but remember Baptist here, that's Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, Harry Truman, Warren Harding. So 4 Baptists. Methodist from George W. Bush, McKinley, Grant. Unitarian, from Taft to Adams, just general Christian, Hayes, Johnson, and here we have President Obama. So again, this is not really telling us about people's real faith. Lincoln and Jefferson, no formal affiliation. Disciples of Christ, Lyndon Johnson and Garfield. Dutch Reformed, Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, Van Buren. Quaker, Nixon and Hoover. Congregationalist, Coolidge and Catholic, Kennedy. But my question that I've put out is this. Is it important for you, all right, for you as an American, is it important that the President of the United States is someone who earnestly seeks God for his wisdom and his guidance? Let me tell you something that I see going on in our political scene today. I heard Rush Limbaugh make a comment, and I read a couple of other articles that were talking about the same thing. The battle right now between nationalism and conservatism, or between populism and conservatism. One side basically saying, hey, America, America, we got to do what's best for our country and move forward. The other saying what's best for our country is that we go back to conservative principles, morally, socially, economically. And that right now, that would be the separation between Donald Trump's followers and Ted Cruz's followers. What concerns me, and I've said some things raising concerns about Donald Trump, but I'm not a Trump basher. I have genuine concerns. You may like that, you may not like that, but I'm not doing this to be politically correct or to win anybody's votes either way, nor am I doing this as some kind of hack for Ted Cruz, as some say. God forbid I would even think like that. Plus, I'm simply here on the radio and in writing about issues that I feel are important, talking about issues that I feel important, with the goal being to help you sort things out, understand better, be better equipped to make a difference where you live. That's why we bring up things happening in the schools, which we'll come back to. That's why we bring up things happening in society. For example, in Massachusetts, in case you don't know this, all of our friends listening on WEZE, there is an attempt coming actually tomorrow to ban therapy for youth on struggling with same-sex attractions and gender identity issues, to ban therapy. In other words, if a kid wants to go to a professional counselor, he could be 17 years old. He could have been molested when he was 10. He could be confused about his sexual attractions and desires and troubled by the fact he's attracted to the same sex. He wants to get professional counseling. Illegal. It's already illegal in California. It's already illegal in New Jersey, Illinois, Washington, D.C. Most states have said no to this absolute absurdity and nonsense. Are you aware of that? That this is going before the Massachusetts House tomorrow? As disciples, we need to know. We need to get involved. We need to make a difference. Otherwise, what do we tell our kids? What do we tell our grandkids? What do we tell the Lord? And don't look down at those Christians who didn't fight against slavery in the 1800s and then not stand for what's right today. Don't condemn those that didn't risk their lives to oppose slavery a couple of centuries ago when you or I haven't lifted a finger to do anything to change the horrific abortion laws in our country, to save the lives of the unborn. Let's not be hypocritical, all right? And we look back at past generations and say they should have stood. Well, we should stand. We have the opportunity to. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, I've often quoted it, the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that it leaves to its children. What kind of world are we leaving to our children? So back to the presidential race, and it ties in with all these issues. What concerns me is that I see a lot of evangelicals being more patriotic than devoted to the kingdom of God, being more America, America, than Jesus, Jesus, when it comes to politics. You say, well, yeah, well, that's politics. No, I don't make a separation there. I'm not looking for a theocracy. We're in a democratic republic here. This is not a theocracy. We're not looking to impose the Bible on the whole world. And if you don't go to church on this day, and if you don't read the Bible on this day, you get whipped or you get punished or you lose your job. No, no, God forbid. God forbid. We are saying that God's ways are best, and we're going to advocate for them. God's recipe for marriage, God's recipe for family, God's recipe for the economy, that God's ways are best, so we are going to advocate for them just like an atheist or Muslim or someone else might advocate for what they think is best. That's the beauty of our republic. But my concern is that many evangelical Christians are more concerned about the American economy than the life of the unborn. They're more concerned with securing our borders. And yeah, I understand we don't want to let terrorists in. But they're more concerned with securing our borders than with caring for the poor. And those are the things that have always concerned me, that we confuse patriotism and the kingdom of God. So we're going to get to your calls now, 866-34-TRUTH. But what I'm wondering about is I'm looking at these responses to my poll, and they're overwhelmingly in one direction, which I'll tell you in a moment. Do you think it's important for our president to be a man of prayer who genuinely seeks God's wisdom and guidance? Whatever Donald Trump is, and I believe he cares about America. I genuinely do. I believe he wants to see America great in many ways and is not happy with the direction we're going. I believe that. Is he in it for himself? I'm sure to an extent. Does he care about America? I'm sure as well. I mean, that's at least my personal opinion. But if you're going to tell me that it's important that our president be a man of prayer who genuinely seeks God's wisdom and guidance, and there are a good number of our candidates that would fit in that category, Donald Trump is not one of those at this point in his life. God could get hold of him and turn him around, but he's evidently, self-evidently, not one of those right now. So I'd be curious if you say, yes, it's important, but I'm voting for him. I'd be curious to know how that works out. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll start in Rye, New Hampshire. Bob, welcome to the Line of Fire. Yes or no?
Yes,
is it important?
Yes, it's important that the president be a man of prayer.
And why is that?
Well, to answer a question with a question, would you rather have a heathen rule?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. So it seems quite self-evident to you then that the answer is
yes.
All right,
yes.
Hey, Bob, thank you for getting us started. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Rockville, Maryland. Anita, you're on the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
God. Hello.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
God bless you. And yes, I absolutely agree that we need a man or woman of God, and that's what I've been praying for. And I've also been praying that if Donald Trump is the nominee, that he would be saved and just saved and pray for our country.
Yeah, listen, if he ended up being the nominee, and especially if he ended up being the president, you better believe I want to be praying for him, especially, and be praying that God would surround him with godly people and that God would use him in a positive way. I appreciate that, Anita. And certainly we should be praying for all the candidates even now, including Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Thank you, Anita, for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Listen, the next president potentially could easily appoint 4 new Supreme Court justices. Is that something that would give you comfort if that president was really praying, God, give me wisdom. Who do I select? Show me. Show me. Show the people on my team. Give us wisdom. And give us wisdom as to how to present these people to Congress so that the right people can get approved. Righteousness exalts a nation. Doesn't matter what the nation is. Doesn't matter if it's a Muslim nation, an atheist nation, a Christian nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Christian, Muslim, Jewish, atheist, doesn't matter. Yeah, obviously, I don't believe that you could have a truly righteous nation without God's involvement. But the point is, if we could have justices appointed, justices who were godly, justices who feared the Lord and cared for true equality and justice and honored the sanctity of life, that's big. That's massive. I would personally want a president that was really praying and looking to the Lord. And I see a lot of scripture reasons for that. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, phone lines are jammed. I want to hear from as many of you as possible. 866-34-TRUTH. My question, should the president be a God-fearing person who seeks God's wisdom and guidance for the nation? Before I go to your calls, let me give you a praise report. This is from, this actually was from a story late last year, but I only found out about it a few days ago. It's from November of last year. We were contacted by a state representative in Indiana who had been really helped by my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and who wanted to stand strong and do what was right in terms of equality and justice and be sure that laws were not passed that discriminated against Christians and things like that. He was concerned about gay activism, wanted to stand righteously, but wanted to be fair to all people. And I said, listen, why don't I send you a copy of my book, Outlasting the Gay Revolution? It will update you on the latest information, and it will give you strategies in terms of how we can live to make a lasting impact. So what's interesting is this article says, as this debate is taking place in the State House in Indianapolis, back in the House chamber, even as one rep was imploring lawmakers to be respectful of all opinions and to consider potential compromises, State Representative Bruce Borders was giving Republican members individual copies of Outlasting the Gay Revolution because we sent them 50 copies. He said, I can identify, he counted 40-something. We said, all right, one for the governor as well, Governor Pence. I know it was delivered to him as well. So here the newspaper is reporting on how he was giving copies of Outlasting the Gay Revolution, and we got great reports that some had read the book and were helped by it. It says, the new book, which proclaims on its back cover it's time to push back America, urges conservatives never to compromise and instead keep fighting until, quote, gay activists overplay their hand and America embraces religious values. Not an unfair summary of the book for a secular newspaper. So just wanted you to know, friends, we're making a difference. We're making a difference. And God willing, this Saturday night, I will be in the Faroe Islands, small islands off the coast of Iceland, a few hours away from Iceland by plane. What, 45,000 people, population. We found out about Faroe Islands when some of the folks from there came to our school of ministry in Pensacola, then joined us for a few years, so I really didn't know where Faroe Islands was before that. So I have the honor of going over there and debating the issue of should marriage be redefined. We could really have a national impact because of the size of Faroe Islands. We've got a debate scheduled at the university there. Some have dropped out that were supposed to be debating me. I say to me, 3 or 4 against 1. I'm fine as long as I get to present my views. I may just have to give a lecture with Q&A if the people we're supposed to debate drop out. But pray, friends, with me. We can really make a national difference. We've been able to make a difference in other countries already by God's grace and an influence in different ways here in America. With your help, we can influence more and more. Why not join our team today? Political leaders are getting millions, hundreds of millions of dollars for their war chest to advertise and campaign. Why not sow into the gospel? Why not stand with me for righteousness as we make a difference and become a monthly supporter? If you do, my joy to send you a beautiful, free, modern English version of the Bible. It's the newest King James-like rendition. So those who love the King James, the same Greek text and the same style, but in modern English, really, really well done. And it's our gift to you, a slimline modern English version, as you become a torchbearer. Every month, we will send you a new audio message. We'll give you 15% discount in our online bookstore. We'll send you a prayer update letter, confidential behind the scenes every month, as well as give you free access to our online classes. And that's for your gift of $30 or more per month. So stand with us. Would you do that? Give us a call right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Tell me, Mike, I want to help amplify your voice around America, around the nations. I want to be part of this team making a difference on the front lines. Or go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Just click on Donate and Monthly Support. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Staten Island. Frank, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Michael, thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
I wanted to answer the question what you said before about as disciples, should we live differently?
Yes.
Absolutely. If you're truly regenerated.
Mm-hmm.
If you're truly reborn again. Now, I think this goes back to something. I didn't get a chance to call in yesterday, Michael, with your guest, James White.
Yep.
James White believes that justification and regeneration are two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're aware of that. That this is a central core of many evangelicals, especially of the Reformed persuasion.
No, I understand the Reformed doctrine that you are regenerated before you believe, and then you're justified by faith, right?
Yeah, they believe that even if you're justified, you're saved, but you're not reborn.
No, that's incorrect. You're not sanctified, fully sanctified. I don't want to get into a doctrinal discussion about this now because we got our phone lines jammed and we're trying to focus on one question.
Well, Michael, maybe this is the reason why many evangelicals are more concerned with the economy than they are with abortions. Because to be truly regenerated and born again, which is different from justification according to them, they maybe are not really regenerated, even though they claim to be saved as being justified. This is forensic justification. It's a
no. They would,
doctrine.
Frank. They would also, with all due respect, they would also say that you, when you are born again, you are justified. That you cannot be justified without being born again, without being regenerated.
That's not true, Mike.
Tell you what. Since you're speaking for others, and I've got tons of friends who are Reformed, and I live in the evangelical world. I'm not going to get into that debate now, okay? So take it up another time. You know where to reach me. Send me your literature to prove your point. But here's where we agree, that many Christians are Christian in name only, be they Protestant, Catholic, whoever. Or they may know the Lord, but in a superficial way. And because of that, their priorities are not right. So, Frank, let's you and I agree on that, because I'm sure we do, all right? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Columbia, Maryland. Tamara, welcome to the Line of Fire. So, yes or no, should our president be a God-fearing person who seeks God's wisdom and guidance?
Yes, Dr. Brown. I think our president ought to be God-fearing. I really am a strong supporter of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And because I am Christian and, as you said, a lot of Christians are not living the Christian life, you know, per
mm-hmm.
se.
Yep.
And I aspire to on a daily basis, but due to family obligations and prioritizing kids, et cetera, I don't...
Tell you what, stay right there. Friends, I'm going to continue this conversation for another hour and a half. Keep following me on your radio program or at Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Should our president be someone God-fearing who seeks God's wisdom and guidance? If I was choosing between five different candidates and I knew that one of them was God-fearing and fit this category and four were not, there'd have to be a lot of strong reasons to put the other four before that one, because so much flows out of the fear of God. So much comes. Look, it's not we're not just talking about Christian ministry here. We're talking about wisdom to govern, wisdom to lead. The fact that we may have had other presidents that were effective that weren't God-fearing doesn't mean that if we have an option for God-fearing presidents that we don't go that way. We don't factor that in. 866-34-TRUTH. So back to Columbia, Maryland. Tamara, yeah, you were saying that you seek to honor the Lord, but there are family challenges and children and things like that. Well, what intrigues me, though, is saying yes emphatically that the president should be God-fearing, someone who seeks God's wisdom and guidance, and yet at the same time you strongly support Donald Trump, who, I mean, even his most devoted followers hardly think of him as a true Christian.
And that's where we have to be cautious, because I feel we're being judgmental, and God said leave the judging to him and him alone. And so in that sense, I really encourage each one of us to stop doing that. Let God deal with Mr. Trump, you know?
Well, all right, but hang on. I've got a question for you. Being judgmental and condemning is one thing, but Jesus does tell us to make righteous judgments.
Okay.
And he does say to look at people's fruit. So when I look at some of Donald Trump's quotes, for example, you know, Charles Krauthammer, you may have seen him. He's a famous political commentator on TV and writes all the time, highly respected conservative commentator, Jewish also. He's crippled. He's crippled from the neck down. That's what you'll see him on Fox News, but you'll never see any movement. He's crippled from the neck down. I mean, last year, Donald Trump mocked him publicly, said this guy criticizes me. He can't even buy a pair of pants.
Wow, you know, I mean, that's horrible. Yeah.
Right. But well, there's one thing after another that's said that is so un-Christian. He obviously doesn't know Scripture. He says he doesn't have to ask God for forgiveness because he's a good person.
Right.
So he's telling you, I do not know the Lord. I am not a Christian. I have no idea what the cross is about. I have no idea what atonement is about. I don't understand sin because I don't understand my need for forgiveness. So he's we are to evaluate that, not stick our head in the ground.
Right, I get that, and I understand all of that completely. I acknowledge how you can see it that way, but from my perspective, in the context in which he presented why he felt, and he was jovial in a sense, you know, and that was not good, that was not kind, but we all have fallen short. And so I have so much faith in God that he will speak to the heart of Mr. Trump, you know.
But hang on. I'm sorry to interrupt. I apologize for interrupting. It's just
okay.
A real short segment here. So thank you for being so gracious. Okay. There are candidates that we know are solid believers, that are God-fearing, that have track records, that we don't have to stick our head in the sand and be in denial about them. Why then, if you say the candidate should be God-fearing and seeking God for wisdom and guidance, and that is not Donald Trump, and it would be Mike Huckabee, or it would be Ben Carson, or it would be Marco Rubio, or it would be Ted Cruz, then why support the one that we know? We're not supposed to stick our head in the sand and just hope for the best. We're supposed to, like, drive
our...
Go ahead.
I agree with you, Dr. Brown, except that I am using my... the Holy Spirit to guide me in this decision that I'm making. You know, I'm not just trusting what I see or the obvious. Like, these other Christian men that you so believe are Christians, we don't all know what they do behind closed doors. So my instincts and my Holy Spirit is saying to me, Donald Trump is the right person for right now to lead our country, to lead our...
All right. All right, hey, I'll let you get the last word in there. Thank you for the call.
It's fire we want, for fire we please. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. Again, we're just having a conversation. We're having honest conversation here discussing these issues, asking should the president be someone who is a God-seeking person, seeking God for wisdom and for guidance. We go to Bethel, New York. Joseph, welcome to the Line of Fire. Hey, Joseph, I can't hear you at all. Betsy, let's see what's going on with that phone line. Let's go to Franchette. We won't go there. Carlton in Staten Island. Yes, welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I would have to say for this question that it doesn't matter what the president is, and I base it simply on the strength of who we are as the body of Christ and, you know, the responsibility that we have to take as believers in what takes place in our country. If we had the next president was, you know, a fervent Christian and dedicated to prayer, dedicated to discipleship, would it affect the culture as much as a million Christians being salt and light, preaching the gospel in this nation? We can't look for a crutch to make up for the areas in which we're lacking. Mm-hmm. We have to, all of us collectively, get serious, repent, and be about the mission of Jesus Christ.
All right. I totally agree that we often, let's say white evangelicals, I'll speak for myself, we often pray like crazy when we've got Bill Clinton or Barack Obama in office and we're all grieved and we need revival and we need a better president. And then we get a Republican candidate, more conservative, and then we stop praying and we take our foot off the pedal. And of course, that's a complete error. So number one, I agree that ultimately the responsibility for the health and well-being of the nation is in the hands of God's people, that we are the ones called to be the salt and the light, as Martin Luther King said, the conscience of the society. That's absolutely essential, and the godliest president can only go so far. But where I differ with you is I'm thinking both and. In other words, I'm pushing day and night and striving for and praying for and wanting to see revival in the church, awakening, moral, cultural revolution, God's people getting involved on every level, making a difference, winning the lost, touching the needy, sharing the gospel, living this out holistically, and I want to elect a God-fearing president. So both and. So I agree that if the emphasis is, well, we just elect this person, everything changes, you're completely right. That's deception. But we can have great awakening on the church level. Couple that with a godly president, you could make tremendous progress. Would you agree with that?
You could. However, just looking the way that God works, you know, the same goes, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church.
Yeah.
When the persecution has been the hottest against God's people is when the church has, the invisible church has truly thrived and grown and reached into corners where nobody expected there to be a believer in Jesus Christ before. You know, so as, you know, for now, you know, let's say the country is in, I mean, it's in complete disrepair spiritually. Is that the problem of Barack Obama? I don't think so.
No, but he's right. He's contributed to it. I mean, look at his bully pulpit with redefining marriage and things like that. And look, I agree with you, Carlton, that the church tends to do better when it's the persecuted minority than when it's the ruling majority. The problem is, if we do our job well as the persecuted minority, we'll have more and more impact and influence, so we need to learn how to use it. For example, in communist China, the church keeps growing and growing and getting strong and strong. At a certain point, it's going to be affecting the nation on every level. When I taught Christians, house church Christians in Hong Kong, they had come, pastors came over from mainland China to Hong Kong. I said to them, you survived persecution and hardship. Will you survive prosperity and acceptance? So it's an important conversation my perspective, sir, is both and, but I fully understand where you're coming from, and I affirm so much of it. Thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Verena, Virginia. Neil, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
I'm not commenting on the presidential situation. I agree with you that we do have to be involved. We do have to pray, and we do have to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us, and we should vote for the person that hopefully can put this country back on course again. Not one person can do that, but we need.
Yeah, everyone has their role. Everyone has their place. That's the key thing, right?
We pray for the others. But I'm calling in to respond to your comments, and I'm excited about you going to Faroe Island. I lived in Denmark most of the 70s. I speak fluent Danish, and my church in Copenhagen was more than half Faroese.
Really? Fascinating.
Yeah. And I just want to let you know that, have you ever been there before?
Nope. All I know is the grads that were from Faroe Islands and the little bit that they've shared with me, but I've never been. This will be my first time. In fact, when I fly in, I've got...
They were part of Denmark, actually, at one point. And the Queen, during her New Year's speech, Queen Margrethe II in Denmark, mentioned the Faroe Islands. She usually visits them with her husband.
Really?
But she couldn't visit them this year, but she's looking forward to visiting them in the near future. She said that in her New Year's speech.
Yeah, and it's so small that when I fly into Iceland, I have a 10-hour layover before my 2-something-hour flight to Faroe Islands because there's few airlines that fly in there.
Exactly. Well, one thing you can know is that the majority, at least it was so back then, 40 years ago when I lived in Denmark and some of my closest friends were from the islands. The majority of inhabitants of the islands are actually born again Christians.
Wow. There's
a tremendous amount of people on the island. I'm not going to say it's like that now. I'm not sure it's like that. It's probably like everywhere else. It's probably changed. But there's some wonderful, wonderful people, and they're just salt of the earth people. A lot of them are fishermen and things like that. And
terrific.
They still hunt whales, which is controversial. But, they've done that forever. So anyway,
tell you what, when you live in a place like that, you get the resources that you can to live. I would also say that people in the Faroe Islands hunting whales is not necessarily going to affect the worldwide whale population.
Exactly. Well, I'll be praying for your trip, and I pray that you'll have a fruitful trip, and I just know you'll really be blessed. They're just wonderful, wonderful people, and I'm excited for you. For your travel.
Excellent. Yeah, we've got Friday night. The schedule is that I'm supposed to do a national radio show.
Wow.
And Saturday day, address leaders about how to impact and change the nation. Then Saturday night, the debate on a university campus. Then Sunday morning, preaching, and Sunday night preaching. So that's the plan. So we can really have an impact.
Awesome.
And it's wonderful. Hey. Very, very useful to hear this. Thank you so much for the call and for the prayer support.
God speed, brother. And all the best.
Thank you. Yeah, and Tuesday I should be able to give my update. We've got a specially recorded broadcast for Monday as I'm in transit. We haven't figured out yet how to broadcast from 35,000 feet in the air. That's the plan. We've got special broadcast on the sovereignty of God on Monday, and then Tuesday, God willing, I give my update. So, of course,
Amen.
We'll be giving updates through the weekend via social media. Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. God bless.
866-34-TRUTH. Okay, before I go back to the phones, I just put out another question, and I put it out on Facebook and Twitter. So Facebook, that's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. That's our Facebook page, and we're nearing 300,000, quote, fans. It's called fans. Once you get past 5,000, you can't have a friend page, so it's called fans, but these are our Facebook friends. Ask Dr. Brown. I put this question up there, and then I tweeted it out. My Twitter handle is at Dr. Michael L. Brown. So at Dr. Michael L. Brown. Make sure you get those two L's in the middle, because there are a lot of Michael Browns out there. I put this question out, and I am looking at some first answers. And my question was this. Are you ready? Does Sarah Palin's endorsement of Donald Trump make you think more of him or less of her? So far, the responses have been overwhelmingly in one direction. Maybe I'll put that poll question out in the second hour. All right. I'll be going right back to the phones, starting with Fred and Kevin on the other side of the break. You gentlemen are next up. So stay right there. We'll get your response. Do you think it's important for our president to be a man of prayer who genuinely seeks God's wisdom and guidance?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Another update from the front lines of the culture wars. In case you didn't hear, the last couple of weeks, the Anglican Church, Episcopalian Church meeting in England, and the Anglican Church with largely conservative leaders in countries like Africa and other parts of the world, they said that they're putting the Episcopalian Church, which is American-based, putting them under discipline for a period of a few years because of the Episcopalians' endorsement of same-sex, quote, marriage. And I'm pleased with that move. It's a right move. Why? Because the church is trying to be biblical. The church is trying to say this is the most basic of the basics in terms of God's design for marriage and family. Is anything evident in the Bible and in biology and nature, it's that. So, and to this day, in case you haven't heard the reports, every human being has a biological mother and father. Yeah, isn't that something? Well, a few days ago, the presiding bishop of the U.S. Episcopal Church said they will not roll back its acceptance of, quote, gay marriage, despite sanctions imposed by the Anglican leaders, the sanctions imposed last week, and now they made that statement immediately after that. So my assumption... my assumption is that it will ultimately lead to a split, but we shall see. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Bella Villa, New Jersey. Fred, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you, Dr. Brown. Your question, of course, we need a man of prayer, and if you read Proverbs, especially 1 through chapter 10 or 1 through chapter 15, you'll see that Donald Trump is the arrogant fool, where Ben Carson is the wise man seeking wisdom, the humble man. Of course, he's not doing too well in the polls. But.
Right, so you would base that on descriptions, say, of humility, descriptions of being careful with one's speech, things like that, right? And that, and yeah, Donald when Trump, I... Go ahead.
Yeah, Donald Trump says, I will do this, I will do that. I've read that before. I will ascend to the throne.
Yeah.
I.
And look, I understand... I do understand that a lot of political leaders will talk about what they're going to do to give a sense of strength and to give a sense of confidence to a nation. And I'm not going to nitpick in that regard, but there are other things that would raise concerns. You know, there is, you don't associate Mr. Trump with humility. You'd certainly think of Dr. Carson much more in that regard. And again, I'm looking at reckless speech. People have criticized me and said, we're not electing a pastor. I'm not talking about a pastor. I'm talking about a national leader. Solomon was talking about a king. And look, right now the last few days, there was a discussion in England about should Donald Trump be banned from England. Now, I believe England has been very hypocritical in this regard, that they have let people in their country who are militant, hate-filled, radical Muslims, and they've been able to stay in the country and spread their hate. That grieves me. At the same time,
Well,
hang on. At the same time, they've kept Geert Wilders from the Netherlands. They didn't want him in the country. And Michael Savage from America. They didn't want the country. So I am not praising England's standards here. I believe they've made wrong decisions. But the very fact that the discussion is being had with our number one ally in the world about a potential president not being able to come into the country. I mean, there is a volatility that is unhealthy. There is a recklessness that is unhealthy. Boldness, forcefulness of speech. You know, Winston Churchill was as cutting and sharp and clear, but there seemed to be more forethought to things that were said or more consideration of the consequences. And when I look at descriptions of a foolish character, that's what concerns me. Listen, I'm not an enemy of Donald Trump. I'm sure he could care less about me in that regard. I'm not his enemy, but I have grave concerns about evangelicals saying that they could support him when I see so many areas of moral weakness that are clearly not, they don't have underpinnings. They're, right. I would have no clue who he would want to appoint as a Supreme Court justice. I really wouldn't know. Because one day he tells us Hillary Clinton's a great woman, would make a great president, and did her Secretary of State job better than anybody. And the next day he tells us that she's the worst Secretary of State ever, and her going to the bathroom and having the bathroom break during a Republican debate is disgusting. I mean, I just don't see it.
He keeps you know, he's dividing this country. Good people, he keeps putting them down if they don't believe, you know, if they don't want like him. That's not right.
Yeah, so listen, we pray. Even though I've personally endorsed Senator Cruz, our ministry endorses no one. And on the radio, I'm going to talk about of what's important to me. And if Marco Rubio, my wife Nancy sent me a clip from last year where he was being pressed by Chris Cuomo on CNN about pro-life and abortion. And he was firm and he didn't bend. And I'm thinking, way to go, Senator Rubio, cheering him on. And when Dr. Carson's done good things, you know, early on, I was hopeful Mike Huckabee could do well. So I'm not here on the radio to support any particular candidate, but I've had grave concerns about Donald Trump. That being said, I don't pray, oh God, get Senator Cruz in office. Oh God, keep Hillary Clinton out of office. Oh God, don't let Donald. No, I pray, God, your will, your best, your plan. And then on our end, on my end, do what I know how to do. Hey, Fred, thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to put this call, this question out for the next hour because I'm curious to see what responses I will get. Did Sarah Palin's endorsement of Donald Trump make you think more of him or less of her? If you want to weigh in on that, give me a call at 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. All of you listening to me in Charlotte, North Carolina right now, in and around Charlotte, we're going to be having a very important announcement in about 10 minutes. Tammy Fitzgerald, a state leader for family values, is going to be with us with a very important announcement for everyone living in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina. So if you're not going to be able to listen 10 minutes from now, be sure to catch the broadcast later today at AskDrBrown.org. Just click on Latest Broadcast. Also, very exciting news. It is just 8 days away, our first ever Night to Ignite Visionary Banquet, Vision Banquet, Faith Building event. We've got a great free dinner for you and some surprises for you when you're there. The Benham Brothers are going to be speaking. They're in demand to speak to thousands around the world, and they're going to be doing this intimate meeting for us. I'm going to be bringing you a faith-filled message. I was putting some of the notes together last night and thinking, boy, you're going to leave encouraged and blessed. And we're going to give you the opportunity to partner with us, to stand with us, to help us make a national, international difference in 2016. So you will literally be able to partner with us at this event. We've only got about 30 seats left. It may not even be that many. And a lot of folks wait till the last minute. So we really need to hear from you now if you're coming. So go to nighttoignite.com. And when you're there, it'll tell you more about the event, but you've got to RSVP. If you just show up that night, or if you drove a couple hours and showed up, we may not have room. In fact, we won't have room for those that aren't registered. So get online, nighttoignite.com, and register. My bottom line, we posted this on Facebook. I want to shout it out around the world on the airwaves. No matter who is president, Jesus is Lord and King. Join me right now on the front lines of the moral and cultural revolution.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I put out a poll question this morning on Twitter and Facebook, and I just put up another one. We asked the first one in the first hour, so I'm going to ask the second one in the second hour. Are you ready? 866-34-TRUTH. This is Michael Brown, your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Did Sarah Palin's endorsement of Donald Trump make you think more of him or less of her? Did Sarah Palin's endorsement of Donald Trump make you think more of him or less of her? I put out a question about 5 hours ago. Do you think it's important for a president to be a man of prayer who genuinely seeks God's wisdom and guidance? And overwhelmingly so far, the first couple hundred plus votes on Twitter, I haven't been able to look at the stats on Facebook, but 93% said yes. 93% said they believe it's important for a president to be a man of prayer who genuinely seeks God's wisdom and guidance. And the overwhelming majority of phone calls that called in, as our phone lines were jammed, said yes, he should be a man of prayer who seeks God's wisdom and guidance. After all, he's leading the most influential nation in the world. Many ways, the most powerful person in the world, at least the most powerful political leader in the world, and influencing hundreds of millions of people in so many ways, appointing Supreme Court justices, making major decisions on our national security. I can't imagine, as much as I disagree with President Obama, I'm glad I'm not in his shoes, I can't imagine the pressure that comes on a president and the decisions they have to make, and the information they have that they can't publicly disclose, and the lives at stake. And I mean, it's very heavy stuff. I can't even imagine how heavy it is. All the more that we pray for our president, to me, all the more reason that the president be a man of prayer who generally seeks God's wisdom and guidance. No, we're not electing a pastor or a pope. We're electing a president. And if that president is God-fearing and God-honoring, 100 times better in so many ways for our nation. But my question now, did Sarah Palin's endorsement of Donald Trump make you think more of him or less of her? Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before we get into that, I am going to be speaking with Tammy Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the North Carolina Values Coalition, about something very, very important coming your way in Charlotte, North Carolina. So everyone listening to me in Greater Charlotte, and this really affects all of North Carolina, but please, please listen very carefully in the next few minutes. And let me read something to you I read in the first hour. Let me read it again. This is from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. This is written by a lawyer in Calgary who is the president of the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms. He said this, based on new Calgary, Alberta, Canada law. Every Alberta student, male and female alike, now has the right to use the girls' washrooms and change rooms, depending not on the reality of biology, but purely on the student's own feelings. Schools at which kids wear uniforms can no longer insist that only girls wear skirts. Girls must be allowed to join the boys' hockey team. Boys are entitled to attend a girls' sex education class. Schools must work toward the elimination of single-gender sports, meetings, clubs, and activities. Schools must even stop using gendered language like mother, father, him, her, Mr., Mrs., and instead use, quote, non-gendered language like caregivers and partners. This madness could be coming to Charlotte, North Carolina. Stay tuned. I'll tell you more. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so here's the question that I'm putting out for discussion. First hour I asked, should our president be a man of prayer who seeks God's wisdom and guidance? Overwhelming responses, yes. Overwhelming on our calls, on Twitter, on Facebook, as far as I've been able to check on Facebook. The question I'm putting out for this hour is a little different. Did Sarah Palin's endorsement of Donald Trump give you more respect for him or less for her? Do you think more of him because of her endorsement or less of her? 866-348-7884. Before we interact on that, before we talk about some other things happening in our society, I want to focus on things in Charlotte, North Carolina, where we are on, the only city in America where we're on the air 2 hours straight. Everyone can listen online 2 hours straight, but other cities get 1 hour, first hour, second hour, something like that. Charlotte, Greater Charlotte gets both hours. This has been a home base where we've been on radio now regularly for going on 8 years. And Tammy Fitzgerald leads the North Carolina Values Coalition. She's been on the front line of key social moral issues. Remember last year that there was a bill with some very radical parts to it seeking to introduce, quote, sexual orientation and gender identity under non-discrimination laws, which would mean that, say, with gender identity, you are an employer at a nursery school, and here's a man who believes that he's a woman and is transitioning. A man comes, he's evidently a man, everyone can tell he's a man, the children can tell he's a man, he comes wearing a dress and says, I'd like to be a worker here with the children at the nursery school, that you could not say that's not appropriate, it would confuse the children. You'd be guilty of discrimination based on gender identity. Or if you have a CrossFit, one of the most popular workout places, and a man comes in who identifies as a woman, that he can use the women's locker room. If you have a restaurant, he can use the women's bathroom. And if you have any issue with it or protest in any way, then you're the one that's guilty. You're the one that could be penalized. Well, that bill was defeated last year. But 1 year later now, with a very much pro-gay activist mayor in place, there's an attempt to move forward again. So, Tammy Fitzgerald, thanks so much for joining us on the broadcast today. What is going on? What's about to happen in the city of Charlotte?
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Brown. It's a pleasure to be on your show, as always. And I have a little bit of a shaky voice today, so please forgive me for that. But yes, Charlotte is getting ready to take up another ordinance that will expand the non-discrimination laws in the city to include new categories, namely sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, familial status. And so what this is an attempt to of the city to force new rules and regulations on every public business in the city, every public restroom, I would argue even churches and schools, that they must accommodate people who identify as men if they're women, or who identify as women if they're men, in whatever way they wish to be accommodated. So this not only means that they can enter the locker room or bathroom of their choice, but also that businesses who provide any kind of service or something for sale must offer that to these people as they choose. And so this sets up a scenario where the government then is really overreaching into the private lives of the citizens who live in Charlotte just to accommodate a fringe, very tiny group of radicals on the left.
Yeah, now when I read up on this last year, I looked at what the advocates were saying. The advocates were saying that those who identified as transgender were, say, roughly 7 out of 1,000 people, and that may even be a high estimate. So you're basically talking about turning everything else on its head. Even if we have compassion, say, all right, you must be troubled. There's obviously some disconnect between your body and your mind. Let's try to get to the root of it. We care for the people. You don't turn society upside down and traumatize or inconvenience everyone else. And plus, we have examples now from other places where heterosexual predators have used these laws. You know, co-ed shower stalls in one university, they had to shut it down because guys were coming in with their cell phones and holding them up over the gals that were showering, you know, because they could go in there. They could just say, I identify as a woman. Tammy, right now, there's an attempt to push this forward. Are things happening with the city council and others behind the scenes where they've only sought counsel from one side and not the other?
Well, absolutely. A public records request to the city of Charlotte produced a big group of emails going back and forth between the city attorney and the Human Rights Campaign, which is the nation's largest gay and lesbian activist group in the country. So lots of emails between the city attorney there in Charlotte to this big national gay rights advocacy group, involving questions even from city council members themselves last year about whether the ordinance went too far or whether they had considered the unintended consequences of an ordinance of this type. Or, you know, what did the city attorney think about cities like Houston and Fayetteville, Arkansas, who had passed these ordinances, and then the citizens put the issue on the ballot for repeal. And the city attorney in each case referred to an attorney for the Human Rights Campaign, and she gave him their pat answer, which was then passed on to the city council member. So it's obvious that this has been orchestrated by the National Human Rights Campaign, which is headquartered in New York City, and that they're attempting to bring New York values to North Carolina. This is not something that's just popped up without a deeply thought out strategy.
Let me just jump in and say, last year at the city council meeting where over 150 different people wanted to speak and share their views, I think I was 50 or 60 something, whatever, and it was an unbelievable scene. But many people were very upset with the city attorney, saying, you did not seek counsel on both sides. You did not have anyone who opposes this bill give you input. No attorneys from the Alliance Defending Freedom or Liberty Council or any. There were many who were outraged, and yet from what you're saying, he's turned around and done the exact same thing. Almost arrogant, like, who cares about what you have to say? We have our agenda.
Well, yes. And in fact, the Human Rights Campaign got very involved in the city elections this past November in Charlotte, advocating on behalf of a lot of the candidates who were indeed elected. In fact, they helped them get elected, including your mayor. And that's why the mayor's number one priority, in her own words, is to get this ordinance passed. Now, I know you must have roads in Charlotte that need repair or schools that have issues, and yet Mayor Roberts has put this issue at the top of her agenda for the city of Charlotte. So
yeah.
She was elected to pass this issue, and last year, quite frankly, they could have passed it. There was a motion that passed during the city council meeting where they voted on this ordinance. The motion passed to remove the part of the ordinance that would have applied to public restrooms. And two of the members that were on the more radical, far left on this issue, voted against the ordinance as amended because they wanted that public restroom provision in there. So this was all about the bathroom. And the reason it's coming back up now is to get the bathroom piece passed. And so the people of Charlotte, and really people in cities all across our state, need to recognize that if Charlotte falls, this is the first domino. And what this will mean is that men will be entering women's restrooms and women will be entering men's restrooms and locker rooms as well. And there will be nothing legally to protect women in those restrooms or men. So there won't be any legal privacy protections anymore in public restrooms or locker rooms if this ordinance passes.
Yeah, I remember at the city council meeting, one woman got up to speak, and she said that she had been raped by a man in a bathroom previously. So obviously a heterosexual predator. come in the bathroom or was waiting in there and raped her. She said to this day it's very difficult for her to go into a public bathroom because of that, but obviously you have to when you're out and things like that. But the idea of a man wearing a dress, even if that person was the furthest thing from a sexual predator, the idea that a male, a biological male, could come in that bathroom would be so traumatizing to her, and she couldn't even believe that that was being considered. And one of the city council members, you know, left-leaning, pro-gay activist mentality, he said he wasn't comfortable with that idea, you know, just for his wife or his daughters. All right, let me take a couple more minutes, Tammy, if we can, and just let our listeners know what they can do, because there is a full-blown strategy developing to oppose this, and it will also open the door for extreme discrimination against Christians. We'll be right back, and then we'll get to your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today here on The Line of Fire. I believe in fair treatment for all. I believe in equality and justice for all. That does not mean that we have special categories of, quote, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression. A university professor whose article I read last week, her specialty, is in brain science, said that there's no way to quantify transgender issues. There is no way to verify this whatsoever. It's simply a person feeling one way, and that way may change. So, Tammy, those who live in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina, first, we're sounding the alarm today to make our listeners aware of what's coming in the next few weeks. And I do remember Jennifer Roberts from some years back, absolutely frontline gay activist in terms of her viewpoint, who she was standing with. But aside from praying, what can we do to get involved and to push this back?
Well, first of all, Dr. Brown, I would encourage your listeners to go to Dan Bishop's website. Dan Bishop is a North Carolina legislative member of the House. He's running for the Senate. He wrote an excellent piece yesterday called Why in the World Would Charlotte Follow New York City's Radical Transgender Regime? And that will explain what is happening and why it's wrong. But second of all, I would encourage everyone listening to call the city council members in Charlotte and email them and express their dismay. We also have a website called Don't Do It Charlotte that in the next 24 hours will be updated so that people will have all the current information. So after tomorrow, I would encourage you to go to don'tdoitcharlotte.com, and you can sign a petition there that will send an email to the city council, and it will give you the updated information. But this is going to come up for a vote as early as February the 8th at a city council dinner meeting, and possibly even February 22nd on the regular agenda. So we will be holding rallies outside the city building in Charlotte on one or both of those nights, and we'll put the information up on the website, don'tdoitcharlotte.com. But we would encourage you to mark that on your calendar and make sure that you're making preparations to attend those rallies and also to speak at the city council meeting. On February the 1st, there's going to be a public forum on this issue put on by the city's Human Rights Commission, I believe it's called. And we'll have information about that up on the Don't Do It Charlotte website, as I said, after tomorrow. So there are lots of things that people in Charlotte can do, and we encourage them to do that. Next Wednesday afternoon, that will be January 27th, there will be a meeting for pastors at First Baptist Church in Charlotte starting at 1:30 or 1 o'clock to 2:30, and I encourage any pastor to go to that meeting to get more information about how they can fight against this ordinance.
All right, so just a quick review. Starting tomorrow, don't do it, Charlotte. You don't need apostrophe or anything. DONTDOIT, Charlotte.com. Don't do it, Charlotte.com. Will be updated so that you can sign a petition, get all the information there. If you just do a search for Dan Bishop and put in transgender, you'll see his very strong opposition to this as an elected official. We are not opposing transgender people. We are opposing a ridiculous ordinance. And then a week from today at First Baptist Church in Charlotte, Pastor Mark Harris, 1 to 2:30, will be a pastor's gathering. Every pastor and leader, see if you can get out there. We'll be giving you support on the radio as these things are happening. See if you can get out there to be equipped to understand the issues. And we pray for righteousness to triumph. Hey, Tammy, thanks for what you're doing. And we will stand together and make a difference in this city.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown. And I hope everyone will get involved and stand up and stop this outrage.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you again. 866-34-TRUTH. The number to call. So I put out a question earlier. Did Sarah Palin's endorsement of Donald Trump cause you to think more of him or less of her? Let's start in Winston-Salem. Stephen, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. It's good to talk to you again. I just got this comment to make about Sarah Palin, and then I got to make a trump about what you were talking about earlier, because we'll listen to the whole conversation, and I got to add my 2 cents in.
Sure.
First, Sarah Palin is a highly incredible person. I mean, she's not credible whatsoever. She's not, because I don't see the common sense between somebody who believes in the value of life plus the belief in that people should have guns. That's one thing I don't understand. I mean, if people value life, wouldn't they devalue guns? But I know people have an issue with that, and I understand that. But, you know,
that's right. Hey, you're just giving your opinion. That's fine. Yeah. So her endorsement of Donald Trump, did it cause you to think more of him, less of her, or didn't affect
less
you either
of
way?
Him, less of her.
Got it. Okay. All right. And you wanted to make another comment.
Yes. About the transgender people in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be common sense? I mean, just hear me out. Common sense that a man who does it in a woman's bathroom, if he's monitored, if there's bathroom monitors, if that's possible, if there's some sort of common sense, because surely we can agree to disagree with the personal beliefs of homosexuality and transgenderism, right?
Well, actually, Stephen, you wouldn't be able to disagree. For example, if this bill passed and you have a bakery in the city and it's Christian owned and someone came in and said, hey, we're having this big porn fest and we want you to draw like naked pictures on the cake. You say, no, sorry, we don't do that. We're Christians. Oh, okay, we'll go somewhere else. If someone else comes in there and say, hey, we're having like this horror walking zombie fest, and we want you to take these pictures of people, their heads, like make cakes that look like people's heads exploding, and say, you know, actually, we're that's violence, gore, that's, you know, it's against our religious beliefs, so we decline. There, you know, there's another baker across the street, they'll probably make the cake for you. All right, nothing you could do legally about either of those cases. But if two men come in and say, hey, we're getting married, and we'd like you to make a cake, to say, no, sorry, I can't do it as a Christian, you'd be fined. Aaron and Melissa Klein, Sweet Cakes by Melissa, they just had $135,000 taken out of their bank accounts by the government, seized, to pay for the alleged damages suffered by a lesbian couple, alleged emotional and other damages suffered by a lesbian couple who wanted them to make a commitment ceremony cake for them when they couldn't. Allegedly, they were so traumatized that the damages, not verified in any way by professionals, came to $135,000. That comes to Charlotte. As for bathroom monitors, we're not worried about a transgender man molesting a woman. We're worried about an open door for heterosexual predators and for just that man making that woman uncomfortable by being there.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Why do we talk about moral, cultural, spiritual revolution here on The Line of Fire? Why are these such issues of importance? Why do I say that as Christians we should be making an impact on the society around us? This is Michael Brown. You are listening to The Line of Fire. I answer the question with a question. Isn't the Great Commission a call to go and make disciples? Then the follow-up question, how do disciples live? I mean, it seems so simple to me, so self-evident. Here's a guy who used to be an alcoholic. He used to beat his wife and children. He used to be irresponsible with his money, get his paycheck and buy liquor for everybody at the bar, and have no money to feed his family. He gets saved, truly saved. Is he going to live differently? Is his family life going to be affected? Quite self-evidently, yes. How about on work? At work, he's unreliable. He gets fired from one job, hired another, can't be trusted with anything. Now he's solid. He's an ethical worker. He's an honest, godly person. Will that affect his status at work? You bet. Let's say he was a politician that was cutting every kind of deal to get ahead because he was just driven by ambition. And now he becomes a genuine disciple. Is he going to be different as a politician, as a judge, as a professor, as a whatever? Is she going to be different as a changed person? Be it as a homeschooling mom. Well, she might not have been a homeschooling mom before, but let's say a mom involved with her kids, a businesswoman, a sports personality. Of course, there should be changes. So how can we not have an effect on the society around us? And how can we not get involved? I have no idea what the headline was about, but just saw the sports note that French tennis player Sanga helped a ball girl, one of the girls that runs out on the, or they've got girls and boys, they run out on the tennis court, they grab the ball and run back off so that the play is not stopped at all. Sometimes when our kids were smaller, our grandkids, they were happy to do that while be playing tennis with one of my sons-in-law, something like that. So it's, but anyway, just everybody would like to have the ball girl, ball. But anyway, I digress. She apparently got sick and she was crying and he helped her and he walked her off the court and people said, what a noble thing to do. Well, yeah, that's what a decent thing to do. Not just be the big tennis player, but to show compassion on a struggling ball girl. Well, aren't we supposed to show compassion and be involved in the needs of others? Of course, the answer is capital Y-E-S. And with all the social madness happening around us, I've got an article, should be out, oh, I don't know, next day or so, called Death by 1,000 Microaggressions. When you hear more of the madness taking place on our campuses, you say, man, we need godly leaders. We need university presidents with their heads screwed on right. We need professors who don't have this radical liberal agenda and who start with a reference point outside of themselves. We must have a gospel-based moral cultural revolution in America. And it comes through you and me. I'm very much concerned about our next presidential election. In fact, it's 365 days from today. That's the schedule when the next president will be inaugurated. So it'll be the last day of the presidency of President Obama and the first day of presidency for the next president. 365 days from now. I'm very concerned about that. But I'm much more concerned about the state of the church. And I'm concerned about some of us who seem to put patriotism before the kingdom of God, who are much more USA, USA, USA than they are kingdom of God, kingdom of God. I often hear people say, God bless America. Do I want God to bless America? Of course. I don't want to curse America. I want to bless America. But for many, that means make us bigger, make us better, make us stronger, make us greater. If I say, Lord, your kingdom come to America, that's a very different prayer. That's a prayer of repentance. That's a prayer of God, come here and change us. Come here and have mercy on us. And he may have to bring us down before he raises us up. All right, my poll question for you. Did Sarah Palin's endorsement of Donald Trump make you think more of him or less of her? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, very interesting. Looking at survey results here on Facebook and Twitter. I want to hear from you next, 866-34-TRUTH. I asked earlier, in the first hour, I asked if you think it's important to have, I don't like to say the word on the radio, but I just did, whether you think it's important to have a God-fearing president, man of prayer, it could be a woman, prayer who seeks God's wisdom and guidance. Is that important for you for our president? We're not electing a national pastor, a national pope. We're electing a national leader, a president. But would that be important? You can weigh in on that as well. And my second question I asked this hour, did Sarah Palin's endorsement of Donald Trump make you think more of him, less of her? Which is it, if either? The results so far have been pretty overwhelmingly one way on both of these questions so far. Let's start with Alan in Lebanon, Connecticut. Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire.
Well, Dr. Brown, I've always enjoyed the opportunity to speak to you.
Thank you.
Well, I just wanted to say that I want to echo what you said. We're not hiring elders for our church. I believe we're hiring somebody to execute a job as president. Now, was Cyrus a godly man? I don't know, but according to 2 Chronicles 36 and Isaiah 44, he did God's will. I want a president that'll do God's will. I want a president that'll listen to wise counsels like Rehoboam in 1 Kings 12 had the opportunity, but he missed it. I want a president that'll do Romans 13, a guardian of our nation, and that'll stick up for our rights, faith-based rights of speech, faith and religion and congregation, 1 Timothy mm-hmm. 2.
Yep.
You know what I'm really concerned about, Dr. Brown? I think we're a client nation because of our origins, but what really scares me is we say, God bless America. I pray that we're blessable.
Yeah, I understand.
In 1 Kings 12, 6 through 11, because of the judgment of God, of course, we're not a client nation like Israel that has responsibility for writing the Bible or bringing in the Messiah, but we still have responsibility for, I think, justice, benevolence in the world. Therefore, we need to have a good economy. I think that's incumbent upon our president to open doors for us so we can take care of our families and for the rich to be able to have tax write-offs for charity so we can help the poor. I think it's really complicated. I like Donald Trump because he's been in ministry. He's untested, but Chris Christie or Jeb Bush, I think, are pretty good. I think they could administrate, and I think they will stick up for our rights.
I appreciate you weighing in, Alan, very much. What I just say about Cyrus, because one of my colleagues says that Donald Trump is a Cyrus kind of guy. He's obviously not a true Christian. He obviously doesn't know the Lord. And whenever he talks about spiritual things, it's kind of embarrassing to see. Sometimes with other candidates, and we do have other candidates that, from what we can tell, genuinely do know the Lord. Cyrus did not govern Israel. He was a pagan king. He was an idol worshiper. What he did for the Jewish people, he did for other nations, namely send them back to their homeland and say, okay, rebuild your temple and pray for me. He did that with other nations, with their idol temples as well. So God raised him up, said he would raise him up in Isaiah, the 44th chapter. And God used him to open the door for the Jewish people to go back and rebuild their temple. But he was not their national leader. What I would say is this. There are candidates that we have seen in action long enough to have a pretty good idea of what they would do if elected. You still never know. You still never know. But we've got a pretty good idea. Barack Obama was true to form. President Obama, as much as I despise some of the things that he stands for, I don't despise him as a human being, but I despise some of the things he stands for and some of the changes he's helped bring about in America, which I'm quite convinced are to our detriment. That's who he was. That's who he was. He did not openly campaign in some of these ways, but if you found out who he was before, looked at his track record, he did what you would have expected him to do. I'm grieved by that. I wish it was other. I wish I could be talking about the amazing, wonderful accomplishments of our president, but I can't in good conscience. But I would say in that respect, he was consistent. Look at his track record before. He got elected, and he lived it out in a radical way. That's why we warned you before he was elected. He'd be our most radical pro-abortion, pro-gay activist president in our history, unless God hold of him and brought him to repentance. There's some candidates, we have a pretty good idea of how they would govern. I have no clue which way Donald Trump would go. I don't know. I really don't know. I believe that he wants to see America great. I think he would do a lot of things that would be positive and other things that I think would be very destructive and detrimental in terms of him being president. But either way, having a God-fearing president is a key to helping America be blessable. Thank you for the call and your input. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to John in Kernersville, North Carolina. Thank you, sir, for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr. Brown, and for all you do in what is truly a ministry. I would say on a couple of your topics here, first of all, with Trump and Palin's endorsement, just barely, by maybe a whisker, makes me think a little more of Trump, but not much, because I think Palin has become more sensational in the last few years than really a contributor to our society, and definitely not a statesman, or for lack of a better term, politician. And your other topic about a God-fearing president, I think it's extremely important to have that God-fearing president. When Trump speaks, as you said, he says, I have, quote, a good relationship with God. I'm always wary of someone who never names the name of Jesus when they refer to God or their God in their relationship.
Or who says, I don't need forgiveness, I'm a good person.
Yeah, I'm a good person, yeah. We want him to start talking about works. And the thing I'll bring up there, not to be stumping on campaign, I haven't made
my decision. No, that's fine. You weigh in, yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, I haven't made my decision yet, but one, we have to realize that even the Pharaoh of Exodus was used by God in his will, so it doesn't always have to be a God-fearing president that's used by God for God's will. We would just like that better for a better working out of God's blessed will for us, but I would remind everyone that in the very first presidential debates for the Republicans, I believe it was Scott Walker, who has since left, and Ted Cruz were the only two people on the stage that didn't just name the name of Jesus, but both referenced the redemption in the shed blood of Jesus. Mm. And that's the kind of thing I'm looking for. I'm not going to find a perfect politician. That would be an oxymoron, I guess. But somebody that's willing to not just name the name of Jesus, because that's beneficial at times, but reference the shed blood of Jesus and his redemption, there's the gospel. And that's what I'm looking for, is somebody that's not afraid to mention our Lord and Savior crucified for the redemption of our lives. That,
right, and
to me is a true test of a Christian, not just somebody who will name Jesus.
Right. Yeah, and look, you can talk a certain way where you know at least this person knows what they're talking about, and if you look at some of the candidates, from everything I can tell, they are genuine believers, like Mike Huckabee and like Ted Cruz and like Ben Carson, even the Seventh-day Adventist, from what I understand, genuine believer. Marco Rubio, Catholic, but from what I can tell, very sincere about his faith, staunchly pro-life. Scott Walker, the same, from what I understand, committed Christian. Now, someone would say, but we're not electing a pope. Right, but we truly believe that a God-fearing person who really knows the Lord will do good for America, will do good for our economy, will do good for our security. They can't just be born again. Look, I'd be a disaster as a president. I'm not called to be that. That's not who I am, you know. You might love the Lord, but you'd be a disaster as a president. But if we can have someone who's qualified and really knows the Lord, all the more. Hey, John, thank you for weighing in. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Lydia in Roy, Utah. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown. I'm listening to your show for a while now, and I love a lot. I'm listening daily, and I deeply appreciate your ministry. Thank you for that. I'm sorry, I'm first time calling you, and I'm a little bit nervous.
No, it's just the two of us talking. Where are you from originally, Lydia?
I'm originally from Ukraine.
Ukraine, yeah, it sounded like a Russian or related accent, but hey, we're just having a conversation.
More like Ukrainian, I would say.
Yes, of course. Thanks for being a regular listener. Yeah, tell me your thoughts, Lydia.
Actually, you were talking in first part of your program about homosexuality. I don't know if it is time to talk right now.
Yes, that's fine. We're talking about what's happening in the city of Charlotte, North Carolina. Yes. and an attempt to push an aggressive bill through. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. I want to tell shortly my story. My daughter, my daughter, which is now 20, she went to high school. It's called Gateway High School in Florida. And she went to drama.
Let me just jump in. We've got a break, so just think through what you want to share. We'll just have a short time when you come back. But let me know what happened. We'll just keep talking on the other side of the break. So just think it through, and then as soon as we're back, we'll hear the rest of the story about your daughter. All right, thanks. We'll get to some more calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, before I get back to the phones, a very, very important announcement. If you live in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina, a week from tomorrow, January 28th, that is our first ever Night to Ignite Vision Banquet. It's a listener's rally. It's going to be a great, edifying night. We've got a wonderful free meal for you. And some great surprises when you get there. David and Jason Benham will be speaking. We know your hearts will be stirred. They're in demand around the world, but they're coming to this intimate gathering to speak. I'm going to be bringing a real faith-building, inspirational message. Trust me, it's going to be a great night. And best of all, we'll give you an opportunity to partner with us, to stand together with us in some critically important endeavors planned for this year that could help us really impact the nation and the nations. So we only have, I think, about 30-something seats left. And with people tending to register last minute, it means we could be overflow when we can only accommodate so many. So to make sure that you have a seat at the table, literally, go to nighttoignite.com. If you're planning on going, go there as soon as you have an opportunity today, nighttoignite.com, and RSVP right there so we can have a head count. We'd love to see you. Can't wait to see you face-to-face. Okay, so back to Utah. Lydia, you're saying your daughter went to high school. She went to a drama class, and what happened?
Yes, so what I'm saying, my daughter finished school, high school in 2014. She went to Gateway High School, and she attended a drama class, and there was a young teacher, homosexual, and lots of kids were turning that way. I got sources from other parents that majority of those of her kids who were attending her class were actually or lesbians or gays.
Mm-hmm.
One day my daughter announced that she's gay. Attitude her changed horribly. She became hostile. In the short time, she got so hostile to me that I didn't feel any more mother and daughter connection.
Mm. Mm. You're saying that this happened quickly under the influence, whatever's going on in her own heart, God knows. But you're saying that the shift took place clearly once she was in this class, and that while she was still in high school, she turned against you?
Yes, very shortly, in about weeks or few months. And she told me, Mommy, I'm gay. I said, as a Christian, I don't think you're right. You know very well I took you to church. I was teaching you Bible. That is wrong. She was arguing with me. But now looks like she went on the right path. She went last year to Jerusalem, and she said, to my friend, one of my friends, that I prayed hard, and I think I'm not gay anymore.
Mm.
But her attitude still didn't change to me. She's so hostile to me.
Yeah, let me just say this. Obviously, she was very vulnerable when she came out. Maybe the influence of the school as well turned her hostile against you. And then on top of that, You must have been very upset, understandably. I want to encourage you just to love her, reach out to her and say, if I hurt you in any way, if I didn't understand you, please forgive me. And just love her. Also, I want to send you a book and give it to your daughter as a gift from me. It's called Can You Be Gay and Christian? Can You Be Gay and Christian? Betsy's going to get your address, and I want to send you this book. I believe it'll be a blessing to your daughter, and it will help you if you're able to read it, if you read English well. I believe it will help you to understand how to minister to her. And let's pray right now that, Lord, that restore this relationship. Strengthen this young woman. Take her out of her confusion. Make her whole and strong. Bless this dear mother with a heart of love and compassion beyond anything she's ever known. And may their relationship in the coming years be better than it's ever been before. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Hey, thank you for calling. Stay right there. Betsy's going to get your contact info. Let's go to Ellington, Connecticut.
Paul,
welcome. Yeah, you're on the air. Let me just say this. You know, the call we just got from Lydia, as we talk about national issues and other things, ultimately, every one of us, we're families, we're individuals, we live in this world, individualized. That's what ultimately matters, and that's why these issues are all of such concern to us. All right, with that, over to you, Paul. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Brown. I've called in before, and it's pretty much the same issue, but this is on the church. Sarah Palin, her view of Donald Trump. This all goes back to the Bible and whether the church stands on the biblical principles of the Bible. We make true disciples and tell people what it really means to be a disciple. Mm-hmm. Not some idea of what we think being a disciple is. Jonathan Edwards had this same discussion in Northampton in a small church when he was a pastor there in the 1730s in the Congregational Church. And it didn't go anywhere. They actually threw him out as a pastor and called him crazy. But he said, you can't make disciples because we want to eat pie or play basketball or we want to bring our relatives in because we feel bad for them. It's following God's biblical principles, and God calls us to repentance. We bring the gospel message. We invite people to come. We can't make them Christians by education. I can't educate a dead man to be alive.
Right. So we must.
God calls them.
All right. The bottom line is, though, and what this comes down to, not even the theological end. I had a Catholic caller wanted to discuss theology earlier and said, hey, it's not the focus on that. The focus right here is the church truly being the church. Not just those who show up at services, but those who truly know Jesus living this out. Hey, thank you for the call. We're short on time. That's why I had to jump in. And sorry I can't get to more calls. But for those who have called, I am looking at your responses. So I do appreciate your weighing in, and hopefully we'll get to talk about these issues more in the coming days and weeks. Let me just say this, though. It is both and to me. I am not looking for the president to be the savior. Jesus is the savior. All right? I'm not looking for the president to be the one who brings about a complete moral and cultural reformation in the nation. That has to flow from the throne of God to the people of God to the society. I am looking for the president to be someone who will uphold the values that are most important to me. And those begin with life and family. Those begin with moral and cultural issues and then flow out to national security and then flow out to the economy. But to me, I start with the core. And those are issues having to do with life and family and our relationship with Israel as well from my perspective. So for me, I'm looking for a God-fearing man or woman who shares these core moral values. My bottom line tonight, the president is not the savior. Only Jesus is the savior. But the president can make a great difference for good or bad in our nation.